once I was lost, wandering in darkness, no life in sight, no hope in sight. But he called my name, and he healed my blindness. He set me ablaze, and now I'm alive with his love breaking through my heart of stone. Love breathing to awake my bones. Love reaching out to save my soul. Love never gonna let me go. And now my heart is so full of worship, and I can't hold back, no, no, I can't contain it. For all he's done, Jesus my Savior,
Caper. All right, good morning, everyone. All right, so I'm going to kick things off with a song this morning that kind of close to my heart. The cool thing about music is that music is kind of it's the fabric of our lives. Like it kind of weaves in kind of memories and events in our lives. Huh?
Thomas said that's cotton.
What's cotton? Yeah, cotton too, right? I think he's thinking of his underwear right now, but you know, we all have songs in our lives that tie an event or an emotion or something. I mean, we remember the first song that we heard when we had our girlfriend or boyfriend in high school, and you know, maybe when our first child was born, maybe that first dance, maybe something in our lives. But for this song that we're going to sing this morning, this is a song that brought me into what I do now. This song is called Today by Brian Dirksen. It's kind of interesting that his life, like he was born in 1965, same as me, so we took different directions, but I kind of feel like maybe you wrote that song to bring me in, actually, if I think about how God works. It's really cool that, you know, I can never see what his blessing is until later. But my journey started when meeting Jack in a grocery store. You ever heard that story, anybody?
In the frozen food
section. Frozen food section.
It was Lisa.
You too can witness in the aisle of
Yeah. So he was talking on his cell phone. I was talking on his cell phone, but he had better service than I did. So I was like, "Hey, who's your provider?" That's how we started our conversation off. So he was Verizon. I was AT&T. Now he's AT&T and I'm Verizon. But I don't know. Funny how things work out that way. But
can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. A mobile phone is no good. But that's how it started. So I met Jack, and 2 years later, this song came out in 2004, and you know, they Integrity sent in the CD, and it came out, I think it was August 10th, 2004. And they got the CD and sent it to me. I said, hey, it sounds like me. It sounds like me playing piano. My kind of style of playing. So I thought it was a challenge. So I went, I walked into praise team practice, played this song, and played that Sunday. So I think we're probably the first church in the country to do the song, if I had to, you know, make a prediction on that. But it's kind of cool because I didn't think the song is actually a message to me until later. Because really the song is talking about choosing who you want to serve. It's talking about choosing your God and choosing who you want to serve. And it says, today I choose to serve you. You know, so we serve different things as well. We serve you know, many gods, I guess you could say, you know, with our technology and our job and our lives. You know, but I mean, really, when it comes down to the end of the day, you serve one God, one purpose. So today, you may be in church today and never said those words. You never said, yes, I choose to serve you, Lord. And that's okay. I was there once. I know. I didn't say I choose yes until later on. So, but hey, maybe today's the day you say yes. I'm gonna choose to say yes and serve you, Lord. Let's all stand up together. That's my story.
That's awesome. Amen.
Sticking to it.
As you can tell, that song was written for Wayne.
Would you say the Bruce Hornsby?
Wayne's the Bruce Hornsby of worship. You got to be about 40 years old to know that. So.
Or 50.
Guys, but like, I gotta say, most of the week just stinks. Anybody with me? Anybody?
Yes.
Amen. Anybody last week?
Yes.
Did it stink a little bit for you?
Yes.
If not, you can just hang around for a while. We'll get there. And I just gotta say, like, this is the only time in the week where I can just let go.
Yep.
All right, just let go of everything that confines me. This is really the only free time I have. It's the only free time I have to just let go. Nobody has a demand on me. I mean, yeah, I got to do some stuff here, but But the main thing is I get to actually just connect to the creator of the universe right here. And so so I just want you one more time. We're gonna do twice. We're going to do that course twice. I just want you to lift it up. And remember, we just celebrated 2 weeks ago that he defeated the grave. But when Christians come together, that's the reason why we come together. This is not it. Are you not glad? Anybody yes. glad about that? That this is not
amen.
It?
Amen.
If you are, say amen.
Amen.
All right, there we go. So let's act like it. All right? This is the one time we get. So let's just sing that chorus twice and finish back up. You ready?
Let's start with the verse.
Okay.
I like the verse.
All right.
Verse one, just God is able. I trumped you.
The whole song. Just do the whole
Do the whole thing over again.
That's what happens when you meet somebody in a frozen food section.
I want to do that intro again, though. I like the intro, actually.
We thank you that you are able. We thank you that, as we sang in the chorus, you defeated the grave, raised to life, and because you live, we shall live also. And God, I give you praise for who you are, that even though each and every day may be a little bit of darkness, a little bit more difficult, that through you, you defeated the grave and you're raised to life, and you are able for any circumstance we have. For all of us here today, God, I just want to say we're a mess, but we serve a risen Savior. We're thrilled about that. In Christ's name. We pray. Amen. At this time, our children can go to Sunday school. We also have youth. But everybody else here, greet somebody. Say hello to somebody. If you see a face you haven't seen, say hi. All right, good morning. How we doing? Good. All right. Like Wayne was talking about music, and we were joking with him about the fabric of our lives, but it really is. How many? I'm going to get a reaction out of you. How many remember? Always and forever. There you go. Somebody had some middle school dances, high school dances. Some of you maybe like when you're like Jimmy, like 25, when you're just messing with them. But a lot of us had. Had all kinds of dances and stuff. We could always think of those songs, and they come back to our minds. And anytime I hear that song, I definitely remember But that's the one that God used to bring Wayne to the position where he needs to be. He's an awesome worship leader, and we're thrilled to have him. Welcome. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. Hopefully you received a card, and you can fill that out. And we have a small gift for you. If you didn't receive that, let us know. We'll make sure that you get that, and we'll go ahead. And just when you come back out here today, we have a small gift when you leave today. If you're visiting online, if you're part of church online, for the first time or you're just regularly part of that, we want to welcome you at church online, and I'm glad that you're joining with us there as well. You have some other information, as you can see here, people who are want to become members of Haven Church. Sunday school, if you want to be part of Sunday school, but some of the other ones that we have there, and some people are just willing to help support and be fill-ins for Sunday school, what have you. If you're interested in that, please go ahead and do so. Dining for Women, April 13th, that's this Wednesday. If you have information, you can get hold of Judy Music, and her information is right there in the insert, or also online. You can connect with her. We have some up-and-coming youth events on the World Vision 30-Hour Famine. And you can see that information on the 29th and 30th. Confirmation class will begin, will be 4 weeks, beginning May 1st. Debbie DeVirgilio will be leading that, so you can see the information there as well. Those who are 12 this year, you can go ahead and connect to that as well. We're going to talk about Haven's National Day of Prayer in a couple minutes, so I'm going to save that till the very last one. Also, we have a couple different meetings, but one in Classroom A is going to be, Haven's Helping Hands is going to meet. You also know some of the prayer team is going to be meeting as well for that service. In addition, this Tuesday, April 12th, is our we've done open our church for this last year. It was very successful, and this year we're open again. It's going to be our Narcan training. The Narcan training, they're going to come and do that. If anybody knows anything about Narcan, it helps people who are overdosing, that we can go ahead and you give them a shot and it brings them back. It saved lots of lives. And so there'll be a doctor here, there'll be people here that will help you get that information after you sit through the class. And it is saving lives. And so our hope is that lives are saved, and then, just physically, but then Christ saves their lives spiritually. So that's what we want to do. And that is open to anyone. Please come and sign. You can be here that day, join it, and the doctor, as I said, you will get the prescription that right here and leave with it and have it for you just in case any of that ever happens, all right? And if you need flyers for them, you have somebody you want to give them to, they're right here. Just kind of raise your hand right now if you want a flyer right here, and Jill will go ahead and hand those out to you. So if you need one, if you want to, you really want to make a run, raise your hand up all different places, and we'll watch her run around the church, okay? There will be a quick Emmaus meeting after church. Joe Cox would like to gather with people. And then also Christmas in April. Some were asking about that. There are sign-ups today. Are they out here? Clipboards right here. Clipboards are going around. Make sure that when you see them, you can see the information about that. April 30th, we're going to partner with Elkton United Methodist Church and going to make some repairs on a disabled person's home. If you have questions, we'll make sure that you get those answered. The Angel Ground Mission is going on, and next Sunday is also Parish Foundation. Are we good? Okay, great. But if you'd like to check out Parish Foundation, by all means, contact Bonnie, and she will help connect you into that. All right? We have a couple prayer requests that we want to lift up here. The Haven's Emmaus community would like to lift up Bill Wiggum, who will be attending the men's walk to Emmaus this weekend. And I know, are you serving on one as well? Okay. Huh? Okay, Stepping Stones, which is also a part of that family. We've got several different people. We got people who are on that and attending there. And so we just pray for God to just really fill everybody's heart with the love of the Lord on these weekends. Trish Moore asked for prayers for her aunt who had surgery on her back to get better. Myron James and Justin are starting baseball and hoping for a good year. Pray for everybody who's starting all that kind of spring travel, sports, and it's perfect weather, 32 degrees. June has asked for traveling mercies for her sister Dee, who is flying to St. Louis for a week of Stephen Ministries, training, so that we're thrilled about that as well, as that's an incredible ministry. All right. Any other prayers that we need to ask? If you're part of online church, please go fill that in. It'll go right to our prayer coordinator, Debbie Chadwick, right here. Yeah.
Please pray for the girls.
Okay, the girls 52. Chrysalis weekend, which is Walk to Emmaus for young people, and so you'll hear a lot of those prayers coming up. And if you've been part of an Emmaus community or whatever, just go ahead and stay after. Joe will gather here with you guys and can connect because we want to make sure people have we reached everybody yet. All right. Anything else? Yes. Yes, we want to definitely keep the Crockett family and everyone in extended family, Smith and everything, in your prayers, as they've had a lot of loss here lately. And so we want to continue to lift them in your prayers. Yes, anyone else? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, so Joanne Kennedy family, we want to lift them up in your prayers as well. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and there are so many needs, so many things that that we could come to you about. And we just want to lift them up right now. We're so grateful for who you are in our life, that you make everything possible. That it seems, even when it seems like everything is so dark around us, that you provide that light and that guidance. And so God, right now, I want to thank you for every person here, because I believe you have something special for them, that you may have already touched their hearts, may have already touched their minds. You may be healing hearts right now as we speak. Whatever it may be, God, we just ask that you just do your thing, that we'll just get out of the way and do that. For those who are going on weekends to draw closer to you, God, draw them near and make yourself more real than ever before. For those who've had surgery or are traveling, we ask for those mercies. For those who are experiencing loss, for those who have the loss of a loved one, somebody who they care about, who just has been such a part of their lives for so many years, and it's just, it seems like even though in some cases we're ready for it, in other ways we're not, that they're just torn from us, God. We just don't know where to go, what to do. Everything doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem to make sense. But God, we know that you can heal all wounds. You can heal the brokenhearted. You send your Holy Spirit to do that right now. God, when we stop and we look around, there's things that just aren't great and aren't right in this world. There's children who are hungry. There's people who are abused. There's young women who are snatched from homes and streets and placed into sex trade. And God, yet we just, there's many of us who just don't know what to do and where to turn. Everything just seems so massive and big. And yet, God, you bless us in the midst of that, and you tell us that no matter what happens, you're able. And so, God, right now, as we move to this time where we continue our worship through giving you tithe and offerings, that's just a small portion of what you've done for us. And God, we don't even begin to kid ourselves and say, hey, what we place in the plate is going to meet all the needs in the world. But God, we believe that you can multiply it and use it to further the needs in our community and around the world that you have called us to go to. So whatever it may be, God, that you've called us to, may we cheerfully just serve you and say, and may your Spirit just guide us and say, this is the way, walk in it. We love you. And we ask that you just amp up your Spirit the rest of this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand up, please. I don't know. I just have this vision today of us breaking these walls down with our voices and join our hearts together right now. It's a time of worship. You guys know this song? I think it came out last year or something like that. Here in the worship.
Say that you're my God, you're a earth you created, all for love's sake became born. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept
today to open up the service. I'm going to ask, we're going to show a video for the National Day of Prayer, and I'm going to ask Rig and I think Debbie are going to come up, I believe. So we're going to show the video for the Day of Prayer first.
Good morning.
Wait. Hey, we're going to show the video first.
Good morning again. The countdown is on. We have 25 days until May the 5th, the National Day of Prayer. And we hope that you will come here that evening, May 5th, it's a Thursday, at 6 o'clock, where we're going to have a service right here honoring the National Day of Prayer. Come join us, join with millions of Americans across the country to pray to our Lord in heaven, who will hear our prayers and will respond. We know how important prayer is in our life, our church life, and in this great country, because we have to have our country wake up. That day, we are going to have speakers from various levels of government, other service organizations that are going to share with us their concerns and their challenges. And we're going to pray together, joining millions and millions of Americans across the country in raising our voices to a God who hears us, wants to hear our prayers, and then responds.
So if you join us now, we'd like for everyone to stand, hold hands, reach across the aisles, and we're going to read prayer together that's going to be posted up here. First, we're going to start with Jeremiah 33:3.
Good morning again. Everybody, it's good to say good morning. Right, Rig? We got a couple of them in there. There we go. So definitely, you want to check out. The people have been putting that together. It's going to be a good service. It's going to be a lot of representation. We're going to pray for a lot of different areas of our world. So plan on being there, and we'll have a good service. And Disciple will either connect on another night or right afterwards. So we'll go ahead with that. How y'all doing? Really? Are you lying? No, okay. We're glad that you're all here today. We are in our third week of a series called I Am Jesus. And as I said, week one, I am not Jesus. I just have the initials, JC. So, but I am far from Jesus. And this week, we are going to be continuing that series. If you have your Bibles or everything we printed out for you is in the bulletin, you can see the scriptures that we're going to touch on there, as well as, and one of the coolest things in the world, if you don't have a Bible, you can download a free one. It's a great YouVersion Bible. It's an awesome one. There's several others, but YouVersion is free and has lots of stuff with it. So if you want to, if you have a smartphone and you've got smart eyes as well, you can go ahead and download that, or you can make it bigger. It's a great thing to have. So, but we're glad that you're here. Week one was Easter, and it's crazy that we had warmer weather on Easter than we have the last 2 weeks. But Easter, and we're thankful for that. That's for sure. But we're Easter, we talked about where Jesus said, and we're dealing with seven different types where Jesus says, I am. And in this case, Jesus said, when we recognize on Easter, I am the resurrection and the life. And we talked about that the resurrection is not an event, but it's a what? Person in Jesus. And that's one of the things we talked about. Last week, you remember what we talked about? That Jesus is the good shepherd and you are?
Bad.
There we go, good, bad. There we go, you remembered. Good job, sheep. Okay. That's a good thing. So, and next week is going to be a really powerful message. It's one of my favorite I am statements. So plan on coming back if you can. It's, I am the vine and you are the branches. And I always remember there was this little song when I was in Sunday school. He is the vine and we are the branches. His banner over me is love. Remember that? Anybody remember that? All right, so you're as old as I am. Okay. And what he says is, apart from me, you can, he said, remain in me and remain in the vine, because apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing. And that's what we're going to talk about. And then today is one of the, a really life-changing one, and it's, I am the light of the world. Somebody say that with me. I am the what? One more time. And he says here in John chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn there, verse 12, he says, I am the what? Whoever follows me will never walk in what? But he will have the light of life. So this is a good thing. And this is really cool. It says, if you follow Jesus, you're going to walk in the light and not in the what? And that's a good thing. You know why? Because the dark's scary. Anybody when you remember when you were real little? Like if it was dark, like so dark you can feel it. And how it's dark, and you would be scared to death of the dark. How many of you were scared of the dark when you were little? Raise your hands. Go ahead and get them with that. How many of you are not little kids, but you're still a little bit afraid of the dark? You want to admit that? Okay, there we go. I always remember when the kids were little, watching VeggieTales, God is Bigger Than the Boogeyman. Anybody remember that one? And I always think about being scared of the dark. As a kid, there was moments when I was really afraid of the dark. But, you know, all I needed was one thing. A nightlight. When it was a little tiny, didn't matter what it was just that little glimmer of light that made it good. Now, you needed the light, but you also needed to have your closet shut all the way. Because what happened was, if you had just a little crack open, that was like a sieve for all the monsters. You know what I mean? So if you shut it, and it shut tight, then it put this force shield around that no monsters could open. Anyway, is this ringing with anybody here? Okay. And then the other thing was, if you had to go pee-pee in the middle of the night, you were very careful you didn't just put your foot over the side of the bed. You know why? What? Yeah, they grab your foot from underneath the bed and suck you underneath, correct? So that lasted until I ended up with a waterbed, which didn't happen underneath, you know what I mean? But you were scared to death, and you kind of like stand up on your bed and give that like a leap out, because, of course, monsters don't have long arms. And then you go to the bathroom, and you come, and you jump back in your bed. Anybody remember this? Anybody still do this? Okay, there'll be counseling for you after church if that's you. But that was some of the things. So And in the scripture, we always have this kind of like dualism going on, light and dark, light and dark. The Apostle John, when he writes his gospel, he talks about light shining in darkness, and he really goes through this dualistic area. And so that's why we're in John. But think about this. In the Bible, when God created, it said that he swept across the waters, and he said, "Let there be light," and he separated the darkness from the light, and it became day and night. Throughout the Bible, God is called light. And our accuser, our spiritual enemy, Satan, is called the Prince of Darkness. And so when Jesus sent the Apostle Paul out, he was talking to him, and he contrasted light and darkness. He said in Acts 26, verse 17 and 18, "Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes that they may turn from what? Darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." Jesus makes this life-changing statement with saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, if you've been around church for a while, you probably heard this verse once or twice in your life. You probably heard it. And the statement comes after one of the most famous stories, and many people don't recognize exactly where it is. Some of you may be there. But you know what? I want to share with you something very eye-opening right now. People do crazy things. I'm going to let that sink in a little bit. That people do crazy things in life. Do you agree?
Amen.
And I really believe people do crazy things because of darkness, because of the darkness that exists in our area. This is right after a story, the story that was read to us today, the woman caught in adultery. And so today what I want to do, I want to break down this story to connect this, and which leads to the life-changing I am statement of I am the light of the world. And to do this, we're going to break it down in three ways. We're going to look at the law, we're going to look at the love, and we're going to look at the life. Everybody say the law, the love, the light. The law, the love, the light. One more time. Put them all together. The law, the love, and the light. Doesn't that sound like a bad soap opera? Ladies and gentlemen, now the law, the love, and the light. Billy wants to, whatever, you know what I mean. All right? So, number one, here we go. Number one is the law reveals our guilt. Everybody say that together. The law reveals our what?
Guilt.
Our guilt. Join with me now as we turn to John chapter 8. And we're going to begin with verse 2. And it says, "At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down around them." Verse 3, "The teacher of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery and made her stand in front of the group." Stop. Now, anybody have the same question I do? Number one, the Pharisees. Who are they? They're these self-righteous kind of ultra-religious people that hit you over the head with like scripture and just beat you down and make things very legalistic. And there's this married guy and this woman, and they're engaging in some extracurricular activity. Everybody with me here? Okay. So, if not, ask your parents. Okay. And notice that who are they punishing here?
The woman.
The woman caught in what? Do you ever hear the term "takes two to tango"? Okay, where's the guy? Just kind of left him alone. Now, it also says that this woman was what? Caught in adultery. So what you have these very legalistic Pharisees that actually walked in on the act, took the woman out of there. So think about it. Here's this woman. She probably has nothing on. She might have grabbed a sheet or something. They're dragging her out in the street. This is the lowest point in her life. Are you with me? Because there are several different things. They take her out. She's naked. She might have grabbed a sheet, as I said, drag her out in public, completely humiliate her, and it is definitely the darkest, most shameful area of her life. And then they ask the question. They go to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, shall we stone her as like the law says?" Now in John 8:8, you have it right here. We're going to jump up. They ask him if they could stone her, not in John 8, but in verse 6. They were using this question as a way to entrap her. "The law of Moses commanded us to stone such women." Okay? So they're asking, "Should we stone her?" What they were saying, the law is true. The law is true here. Somebody say, "In the law." "In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman." What do you say, Jesus? And in verse 6, it tells us that they were using this just to mess with him and to get him entrapped. They wanted to catch him in a trap. Now, here's what it says. In the law of Moses, which they were following at the time, if you were caught in adultery, you would get stoned to death. Now, that's not recreationally. That would be that you get rocks thrown at you. I want to make sure that's clear. It's a different language now than we had back then. They were trying to entrap him, because if Jesus said, yeah, go with it. Go ahead. Just kill her. Then they would say, well, where's the love that you have? You said that you're this loving person. Where would that? His reputation would have been ruined there. If he said, this time just give her a mulligan, no problem, let her pass, it's okay, good. Then he would break the law of Moses. So it was a catch-22 situation. Jesus was messed up no matter what he did. Whatever answer he gave, he was going to be in trouble. But the main point that I want to bring here is that the law reveals our guilt. And we live in a world today where we don't like to admit guilt. Am I right? We don't like to admit guilt. One of the things that I often hear about this point is when things happen to people, and you may be at this point now, one of the things that I get a lot of kickback at times is if I say, I'm not a good person and you're not good people. And people say, wait a second, Jack, I'm a pretty good person. No, that's not right. That's not right. But it's true. By today's standards, yes, there are good people. There are people who are better than other people. I will give that to you. But by God's standards, the scripture tells us no one is good, not one. Look at the person next to you and say, you're not good. Look at the other person back. Say it back to them. Say, neither are you. All right, you're not good, not one of us. We are sinful. We are horrible in the sight of God. And the law reveals our guilt. And let me just give you this illustration. Are you ready? Anybody ever heard of the Ten Commandments? It's the law of Moses. So let's have a little fun today, okay? All right. So we've just told each other that we're not good, right? Let's put that to the test. How many of you have ever told a lie? Raise your hand real high. And the people who don't have their hand up, look at them and go, liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay? All right. How many of you ever stolen something, taken something that's not yours? Come on, some of you have Haven pens. You probably got a whole pocket full. There we go. Come on. Okay. All right. There we go. Yeah, admit it. Okay. Now, not many of us want to admit this, but how many of you ever looked lustfully at someone? All right. Now, come on. Well, I know she does it every week. Every day. Melissa does it every day when she sees me. But that's okay. Some of us, we don't call it looking lustfully. We're sitting there, and you know, life's good, and we're just kind of rolling along, and then all of a sudden, they walk by, and you go, oh, thank you, Jesus, for making that. Oh, what a great creator you are. Hallelujah. Woo! Look at that creation, God. I'm just giving glory to God. I'm not lusting, right? Anybody been there? All right. See those hands go up real quick and go back down real quick, you know? All right, so we have that. All right, so we've done that. How many of you, may have been years ago, may have been one point in your life, have ever taken the Lord's name in vain? All right. So I want to break it down for you right now. You ready? You are, if you've ever told a lie, you are a liar. If you've ever taken something that wasn't yours, you are a thief. If you've ever taken the Lord's name in vain, it's blasphemy. Therefore, you are a blasphemer. According to Jesus, if you've ever looked lustfully at someone, then you've committed adultery in your heart. So that makes you an adulterer. So, in other words, you are a bunch of lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterers. Welcome to Haven Church, where you get a good positive message about your life and your identity. That's you. Okay? You feel good today? Okay, that's all I have. Now, that messes with you, doesn't it? Because we have our little pockets in our own world of what really is stealing, right? This is just stealing. This is lust. That's just natural. Or this is just, this is just lying. Oh, we have little white lies. It's just a little untruth. You know, if somebody, you don't want to talk to somebody on the phone, what do? They're not here. Or you may do one of those creative things where you say, walk outside. They're not here. Anybody ever done that before? Anybody been creative in your life? We have those kind of things. Now, we're all sinners, okay? Isn't that exciting? Now, why is that so important? Because until we see ourselves as sinners, we will never see ourselves in need of a Savior. If we, that's good stuff if you want to write that down. I don't have a blank for that. But until we see ourselves as sinners, separated from God, we will never see the need that we need, that we have for a Savior. It's kind of like when you go into a movie theater, it's dark, and you come out and it's a really bright day, you can't see. And a lot of times we can't see what's going on, so we like to go back in and let our eyes adjust and so that we can see some things. The law reveals our what? Our guilt. And the law said this woman was guilty. The law also says that we are guilty. But the good news is it doesn't stop with the law. So let's go on to number two. So the law tells us we're what? Guilty. Okay. Number two, the love revealed God's grace. Grace is simply a churchy term meaning undeserved love, undeserved favor. We've done nothing to deserve it. The law reveals our guilt, but the love reveals God's grace. In verse 6, it tells us that they're trying to get Jesus in a trap. But then it tells us that he ignores them in verse 6. Let's look at that again. In verse 6, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But then look what happens. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Have you ever asked somebody a question and they completely ignore you? How does that make you feel? Like you really got to know something and you say, hey, I need to know, what time are we supposed to be there? And they go, are you getting mad? Of course you are. Of course you are. The Pharisees are asking, do we stone this woman or not? Come on, Jesus. Here we go. They feel like they got him in this area, and all of a sudden he kneels down and begins to write. So the question is, what did he write? Here's the answer. We don't know. But many people believe, and I'm going to give you some reasons why I believe the same way, he started writing down the Pharisees' sins, and I'll tell you why. Because to write down in Greek, which the New Testament was written in, has two different words. One is graphin, which means to write down, and the other one is katagraphin. Katagraphin means, and this is the word that is used here, to write down a record against. So basically, they're asking these questions. This woman that they went and yanked out of where she was, into the streets, butt naked, maybe with a sheet. They're getting ready to throw rocks at her because that's what we got to do according to the law. And Jesus, they say, what do we do, Jesus? Tell us. And he bends down and goes, and starts writing all the stuff that these guys are doing. I believe, and I think it's kind of cool, if it's a record against, he probably wrote down, Jack. Started writing down their names. How would you like Jesus to do that for you? Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? I think of the early church where people used to, you know, come and openly confess. That you're going to get that in an hour? Ain't no way. You know what I mean? But can you imagine the nature? It was to openly confess, have groups to openly confess with each other so they could get stronger in their faith. Jesus begins to write down, and it says in verse 7, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them. So he's writing stuff in the dirt, and they say, yoo-hoo, we ask you a question. And he straightens up, and he says, he's written all this stuff in the dirt, and he said, now wait a second, let any one of you who is without what? Sin. Pick up a rock and chuck it at her. And here he has a list in the dirt of everything they've done, maybe even their names. And he says, any of you guys not on this list? Go ahead. Now, what's really cool is the word in Greek here is anamartitos. Yeah, say that 5 times real fast. And what it means, it doesn't only mean without sin, it means without even wanting to sin. Now, I got to tell you, that's impossible. Because I got to say, in my life, some of the sinning I did was really fun at the time. Anybody else with me? Or am I just in the boat by myself drowning, okay? Here, there was some stuff that I did at the time that was really, really, really fun that left repercussions for years in my life, okay? It was really, really fun to do that stuff. However, Jesus is writing down stuff and saying, anybody who never even thought about sinning, who never even had a question about or anything, go ahead, pick up a rock and go. And it's really, really kind of interesting here because then they start dropping off rocks. And they start dropping rocks down on the ground from the oldest to the youngest. Why the oldest to the youngest? Probably because they committed the most, and they might have been top of the list. Jesus is going something after something that's really, really important. These judgmental, arrogant guys have the same problem that we have all had at one point or the other. It's incredibly easy to see somebody else's faults and sins, but it is so hard to look in the mirror and see where we miss it. Jesus mentioned this also in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but you've got a plank in your own, a 2x4 in your own eye? But we do this all the time. Like, for instance, we can say, sit here and go, have you heard, have you seen, did you know what they did? Oh, hey, come here, have you heard? All right? And so we see that, but it's so hard to see what we do. There's been times where I've preached a sermon. It was a good one. Like next week, I'm going to talk about the vine, and we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about this stuff. And there's been times when I've talked about have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Awesome stuff, right? And then I'll get on the road, and some slow person is in the fast lane. And there is anything but good fruit coming out of my mouth and mind. Anybody in the same boat or same car with me? And get in the slow lane, please. Unless you're really trying to. I think God puts angels there and says, let's see how Jack's fruit is today. You know what I mean? And or else I'll be in line and someone will butt in front of me. And I don't know why, but when somebody butts in line, you just want to choke them. Am I right? Or someone, you're in a hurry going somewhere and someone is walking across the crosswalk like this. And don't you just get that image in your head of like, right? If you don't, if you do, talk to me. We can commiserate together. There's that. I can give the best sermon on the fruit of Spirit, but I guarantee you the next day or in an hour later, somebody's going to test me on that. I've always heard, don't pray for patience. You know why? Because patience doesn't open up and God says, here is thou patience. No. God will give you people that are impatient and put you in situations that will make you be patient. And that is not fun for people who are impatient. Particularly in this world where we want everything done right away. As soon as we get it out of our mouth, we want to drive through everything. And we want to drive through God as well. God, I ordered this. Prayer is, I've ordered this. Why haven't you given it to me yet? And God said, you're going to be patient. That's how it happens. And so we look at this time and time in life. In John 8, he had said he stooped down the road on the, right on the ground. In verse 9, he says that this, those who heard him began to throw the stones away because they said, we messed up. They started to have a realization moment. The older ones dropped them first. And so then there's this situation where there's this woman, this sinful woman caught in adultery, and Jesus are the only ones left there. And in verse 10, Jesus straightened up and ask her, which I love, and we know from other ones, that Jesus wrote this and said, any of you who is without sin, throw the first stone. And then he bent back down and started writing from some of the other gospels, from the other accounts we have. He just started writing again. And so and it says Jesus straightened up and said this, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Look at the grace here. Has no one condemned you? And she is in broken shambles in front of this great teacher. And she says, no one, sir. And then Jesus looks at this broken woman and says probably the most loving, gracious thing that anybody ever could. Then neither do I condemn you. Then neither do I condemn you. And I just believe that there's somebody here in your life, you're in a dark part of your world. There's some darkness, maybe a little bit, but there's something that's dark here. There's something that you've done. There's something that's happened to you. And there's a little bit of shame, agony over what you did or what's been done to you, and you're there. But I want here to tell you that Jesus is saying, hey, nobody can condemn you because they're all a mess like you. And guess what I want to tell you? I'm not going to condemn you either. You're not what you did. You're not what others say you are. You're who God says you are. And with him, those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. There's no condemnation. I was telling a class the other day, it was a group of seniors, I was telling them, be careful what you do in high school, because for the rest of your life, when you run into somebody from high school, that's who you are to them. Am I right? No matter what you did then, they will still remember you as that person. If there's still somebody in high school I remember, he's 45 or so, and I still remember him as being the kid who sat next to me who got drunk in class and threw up in the water fountain. He will always be that kid. I could give you his name, but I'm not going to, okay? And I know it to this day. And I've got all kinds of other people that are there. And when you go back to your reunions, am I right? You look at them, and that's the first thought that comes to your mind. But Jesus says, guess what? There's no condemnation in me. Because anyone who's in me, there is no condemnation. You see, we have an accuser. In Revelation chapter 12, his name is Satan, and they call him the accuser. And Satan will give insults and accusations against you. He'll say things like this: after what you did, God could never love you. After how bad you messed up, he could never forgive you. After all you've done, you're not going to make a difference in the world. You can't even make a difference in yourself. After what you did, you're never going to have a good marriage. You blew it big time. It's over. Your life will never be good again. And it was bad before. Oh, your kids, the way you've parented them, they will never respect you, ever. And you start to say, wow. But that's the voice of the accuser. The voice of the Savior says this: I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Where are your accusers? I'll send them away. And I'm not going to condemn you, and I'm the only one who can. Whenever the accuser, I heard this from a young age, whenever the accuser accuses you and tells you and reminds you of your past, go ahead and remind him of his future, because he loses at the end. And so he knows it. Just tell him, say, thank you, Satan, but I am not that person. I am a child of the light. I'm walking in the light. And by the way, read the end of the book. You're done for. Was this woman guilty? Yes. Did she deserve the punishment? Yes, but because of his love, she deserves it, but doesn't get it. Have you ever had those moments in life where you deserve punishment, but you didn't get it? Like, for instance, anybody gone to traffic court? I remember one time going to traffic court, and I was all mad because it was one of those cameras, and I thought it was unfair. Should be a human that's giving me a ticket, not a computer and a camera. Anybody got one of those? Yeah, they stink, don't they? But anyway, I remember going in, I think it was down in Dover, and even when I went in, there wasn't even a person there. It was like a screen. I was like, oh, maybe I should send Virtual Jack, you know, to come here too. Maybe that's what could be my excuse. Virtual Jack was driving virtual car. It really wasn't me. And I went in there, and as I went in, there was a lot of people that were just saying, not guilty, and the judge was like, boom, just, yeah, phew. Here we go. Not guilty. Boom, just hitting them. And I had spent all this trip down to Dover figuring out all the excuses I was going to have why I'm not guilty. And then I realized I was. I did run the red light. You know, it was yellow when I started, but, you know, I tried that old trick where you put the foot on the brake just to get the lights go on, and the camera doesn't go for that one, just to let you know. So I went through, and it came my time in front of this green judge or whatever it was, and he said, what do you say? I said, I'm guilty. I was just stupid. I was going through. I thought I could make it. He said, you're what? I said, I'm guilty. He said, really? I said, yeah. And I'm thinking, crap, this is going to cost me some money. But what the heck? Everybody else was going down. And you know, he said, you're the first person that's come in the last hour that's told me they're guilty. He said, just pay the court costs and I'll let you go. And I'll remove all points. I was like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I'm guilty. Right? Because we're all afraid of the points. That's what we're really afraid of, right? Because we know this is going to cost me more because insurance is going to go up, right? Everybody thinks that way. And I was so thrilled. It was a lesson in life that you know, there are things that we do that we are guilty. And we are all guilty by the law against God. But it is his love and his grace that tells us that because we're guilty, we need a Savior. And he said, what did Jesus say next to the woman? Did he say, okay, now that you're forgiven, just try not to do that again? Or you say, you know, I understand you. I understand that you had a bad childhood. I understand that you got daddy issues. And you know, just try not to sleep with all the married men again. He didn't do that. In the same way he dealt with her, he deals with our own darkness. He said, go and don't live this life anymore. In the same way, he doesn't say to us, I know you're always struggling with stealing things. Just try not to steal from your family on holidays, okay? Just make it be a good Christmas. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you know, you're always going to struggle with gossiping because there's a lot of goofy people in the world and you do a lot of things. So, you know, just get away with a little bit. Just try to dial it in a little bit more and just make it a little bit lighter. He doesn't do that. What does he do with this woman? He says, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. There's an urgency there. Go now. Go now. Some of you right now are in a place where God's saying, go now and be free. Be free from this. You're either in some darkness or you're headed from it. Remember I said people are crazy because of darkness? Go now, walk away from that. Walk, get out of your shame. Walk out of your self-hatred and loathing. Walk out of the condemnation from others. Walk out of the pain that you have, that you've been existing. There's a sense of urgency that's here. You can be free, and I believe somebody needs this, to be free, to be healed, and to be changed, because the light overwhelms the darkness. The law reveals our guilt, and the love reveals God's grace. But there's a third thing, and you're going to have to make a change in your bulletin because I made a mistake. It's the light, not the love. The light reveals our hope. The light reveals our hope. You know, I used to read this where Jesus said, go now and leave your life of sin, as him being very preachy. I forgave you, now stop it. You, nope, no more. But it's not like that. Because in the next verse, he shows encouragement from her. He's like, you don't have to live this way. Why are you doing it to yourself? I've got so much more for you. You don't have to hurt like you're hurting. You don't have to live in the shame as you've been living. You don't have to live in the self-condemnation and the self-hatred of your own bad decisions. You can be different. You can go and sin no more. Who cares what they think? I wrote down enough stuff for them to last them a whole year. Why do that to yourself? The next verse, Jesus said, when he spoke again to the people, then he says, so he said this to her, and then he speaks to the people. He stops and he goes, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. How often will you walk in darkness? Never. How many would like that for your life this week? To never walk in darkness? That doesn't mean the darkness is going to come, but what it means is the light's going to take care of it. This is a key. You see, when Jesus said this, and he said, neither do I condemn you, he no longer became the light of the world. He became the light of her world. Let me say that again. He no longer was the light of the world, this abstract nature, but when he said, I don't condemn you, he added something into the darkness of her soul, her darkest moment, and he says, I am the light of your world. And she says, wow. And it opened her eyes. If we still don't fully understand, there is never enough darkness. You know when it's super dark, like real dark, like the power's out dark? Because even if when the power's up, we still have that little blinky thing light that we never changed, you know, and it's been on, and it blinks. Or we have some kind of light. But when it's really, really, really dark. Like right now, if I had them kick off the lights in here, it would still be lit by that, and we'd have some kinds of light in here. But I'm saying, and even from the outside, but when it's dark, you've been in places like when the power goes out. When the power goes out, my kids are like the thunderstorm the other week, my kids were like, what if the power goes out? I said, it's bedtime, go to sleep. But no. I said, take a flashlight to bed with you. Why? They wanted the security, because you can feel that darkness. And they knew that just that little tiny, Judah knew that little tiny flashlight, all he had to do was pop it on and he could see. You see, the voice of Satan fills you, and this world is filled with so much darkness that you hear, you can't, you won't, you'll never, this, it's all around you, all around you. But the accuser is silenced by this, by Jesus saying, I am the light of your world. I'm the light of your world. And if you follow me, you will never walk in darkness. You will never walk in darkness. You know, one of the interesting things is, even for the Christian, our spirit can be in light, but our head can be in darkness. Because of stuff that happens to us, because of things where we feel like we're trying to make a difference and we can't. I'll tell you, that's one of the biggest darknesses I have, because when people have issues, I want them to get through it. I want people to connect to Christ. I want people to have a relationship with Jesus that supersedes any other relationship in their lives. But at times, the darkness that people are dealing with is so dark and deep that my spirit is lit, but my emotions and my head as a pastor are in darkness. And it's a tough road at times, just as many of you are dealing with lots of stuff in your families, in your life, in your work, and there's this darkness, and the whole time you're hearing about the light of Christ, and yet you're trying to figure out how you can get rid of this darkness. It's simple. Make him the light of your life. Don't make it abstract to the light of the world. Make him your life. Light. And here's the really cool thing. Jesus told us, you are the light of the world. Why? Because of him. I go back to a candlelight service. Anybody been part of a candlelight service? Yeah. One candle is lit by one match. One match is taken, lit the candle is lit from another one. Another one is taken, another one is taken. And before you know it, this room that is completely dark and dingy is all of a sudden lit up by all the individual people. You see, the law will reveal our guilt because we are incredibly guilty. Don't miss that. We are guilty. And until we recognize that we are sinners, we will never have a need for a Savior. What does sin mean? It's very close to that word, that real funky word I gave you in Greek. It means harmatia, means missing the mark. His love reveals God's grace. We don't deserve it. That woman deserved every ounce of punishment she got, but Jesus gave her grace and love. And our light reveals our hope in the Savior, not in the accuser. No matter what and how dark your world seems right now, he is the light. And at any moment of time, he can illuminate your darkness. And as John said, the light shined in darkness, referring to Jesus, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It's Jesus. Look at that picture on the front of your bulletin that I'm also going to put up here right now with the hand of Jesus. I found it yesterday looking, and I think it's one of the greatest pictures ever. There's a lot of darkness, but with the name of Jesus and just with him in your life, he can take care of it. All right, as our praise team comes up forward, we're going to go ahead and lift up some prayers. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are as the lights go down. And at this time, we're just going to open up for prayer. People will be up here to pray with you, because once you let the light in, you're never the same, and you'll never again walk in darkness. Bow with me for prayer. Father, I pray today that in your presence, through your Holy Spirit, that you will do some healing work in our hearts. God, that we will be different because we've been with you. And as we're praying today, I want everybody just with their heads bowed and eyes closed. I know that there are many of you today that your world is pretty dark. It could be for a number of different reasons. Maybe that you're into something that you shouldn't be. Maybe that something has a hold on you. Maybe that you have such a loss you can't deal with and it seems too big. It may be that you're ashamed and you have this guilt that's there. Maybe other people have said things about you that are true or not true. And if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Some of you may just be at a place where you need some hope. You may be at a place where you need some encouragement. You need God's presence. You need his grace. You need his hope just a little bit to bring an awful lot of hope. There are those of you saying, one way or another, my world is really dark right now. Or I can feel it creeping in. And I need the light of the world to become my light of the world. I need to have his presence, his love, his grace. I need his hope. I need more Jesus in my life. If that's you, just where you are with every head bowed and eyes closed, just raise your hand where you are. There we go. That's awesome. God, I thank you for those today whose hearts are sensitive to you and need your presence. You know the details of everybody's situation, and God, I pray to you who are in bondage from accusations from the accuser. I pray for those who've not yet forgiven themselves, that have seen themselves as something less than your child. For those who are stuck in a repetitive sin, a repetitive area, and just can't seem to get out, by your power, God, they can let go and go now and live in the light. God, reach to them where they are. And so then as you keep praying, there's others who you may say, I wonder where I stand with God. I know him. I know about him, but I don't know that I really know him deeply. I've done so many bad things in my life. I don't know how he'll ever forgive me. And when I think I got it, then it seems like I've got more stuff. You see, I'm hearing this good news that you talk about. Jesus is the light of the world. And whoever follows him will walk in light, not darkness. And I thought being a Christian was just by going to church or saying I believed. I didn't really realize it meant becoming a follower of Jesus. If I follow him, I'll never walk in darkness. But I don't feel good enough to follow him. The truth is, none of us are good enough. But by his grace, Jesus died on the cross and rose again forevermore to call you to himself and call you his own. And because of that, God doesn't look at us as ourselves, but looks at us in Christ. If that's you, and you say, that's me, I need his grace, I need his mercy, I need you, God, I need you, Christ, I need the light, I want to turn from all that stuff in my life, I want a new relationship with you, today I want to give my life to you. If that's your prayer, just lift your hand right where you are now. Thank you. And as we close out today, I want to close out this prayer. And as before our worship team leads us, just pray with me. You can pray aloud or you can pray to yourself. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. Jesus, I believe you died for me. You rose again so I could live for you. You are my light. I will follow you. Help me never walk in darkness again. Thank you for my new life. I give you mine. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to pray, our Stephen ministers and I will be up here available to pray with you. Let the Lord just move in your life right now.
Ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you could love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now. You plead my cause. You right my wrong. Break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Yeah. How can it be?
I said, to me today, the thing that ministered to me the most was the music. I mean, I don't know, I hope you guys got something in the sermon, but for me, just the music today, it was just, I could just feel the presence of God just moving in a very important way, and all the songs came together just awesome. So thanks, Wayne, for your leadership and just connecting us there, because I'm just, you know, just feeling like, how can it be that somebody will love us that much? Can you imagine? That woman should receive the death penalty for what she did. We should receive the death penalty, eternal death penalty, for what we've done. But we serve a God who loves us, who gave his life up for us, who in his grace says, I took on the penalty for you, so that you don't have to worry about hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. That's an amazing God. That's somebody who loves us amazingly. And you should feel loved if you don't feel anything else today. All right? Next week, I am the vine, the true vine, and you are the branches. Okay, so we're gonna go with that, and we'll wrap up our I Am series. Since you told somebody that they were bad today, go ahead and tell them you're loved, and then knuckle punch them and head out. Have a great week. If I